Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
We are breaking out the greatest classic rock of all time. You are inside the toolbox. All day, all night, all right. Let's move on to Jack Blades and Night Ranger. Inside the toolbox, when you close your eyes, who do you dream about?
What do you do when it's falling apart? And you knew it was gone from the very start. Do you close your eyes and dream about me? A girl in love with a gleam in your eye. I'm a skunk boy all dressed in white. Whoa, tonight I bet you still think about me.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Marlon Wayans, with Gina Grad on news and Walt Bryan on sound effects. And now, he took a tour of my house earlier today, and he still has a contact high. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We appreciate that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
I'm proud to be a Merkin.
I wanted to get to the chorus of the main verse of that song, Dawson. Which
I know. As soon as I did it, I was like, I heard it fading down. I'm like, no, this is the line he wants to hear.
I want to hear. All right.
We'll get it right up for you.
All right. Because that's a Tool tune. Okay. All right. Marlon Wayans coming in. Stuff to complain about. In the department of the sounds too close, we like to get into those. Mm-hmm. Don't even know where these come from, but I assume they're supposed to be connected. But Cheers and Jeers is a pretty rough one
TV
out
guide
there.
Loves that one.
TV guide.
That is a tough Tears and Cheers Ooh. And Jeers. Tears for Jeers.
Tears for Jeers.
That could very easily be mistaken for one or the other, or the other, either direction. There's no way Jeers and Cheers should be. First off, Jeers doesn't even sounds like a made up word, but yeah. it also seems way too close for the opposite of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and radio stations, especially back in the day, love that. Okay, we're gonna play Smash or Trash. You guys want to stay or go? Smash or Trash? Everything right. was Smash or Trash. Cheers or Jeers? Not the same.
The whole crowd was cheering.
Anytime I hear something where they go the cheers turn to Jeers after he exposed them, and I always have to stop and do a quick piece of math in my head where I have to
cheers are good.
Yeah, I have to stop because they're almost the same word and they mean exactly the same. And I'd accept cheers and booze or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure where Jeers comes from, and then which one came first? Gary, got to look into the
etymology of that. It's
real TV guided.
Cheers. But I don't like Cheers and Cheers being as close as they goddamn are. Okay. Now, you guys tell me about this and then explain. So I was just talking to Matt Fondelier about a first class ticket and blah, 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 and some air travel.
For him?
Yes. They make it rough. They make it rough because on one hand, I am Rich Whitey. On the other hand, no matter how much money I have, if the plane lands at the same time, spending three times as much or five times as much for a ticket where you land at the same time and take off at the same time just feels weird to me. And there are there's little perks like, hey, you get to get on first.
Yeah, there's the door-to-door experience.
But I will tell you, and you guys tell me. So I'm looking at this flight, right? And it's LAX to Florida, and it's $1,600 for the first class. And it's like, all right, sometimes they can be $3,400, but it's $1,600. Okay, fine. Now I have to punish myself, which is how much for a coach flight? If you told me $685 or $875, I'd squeeze the trigger on the $1,600.
Okay.
But it's $184.
Oh, no.
Right. And I said to Matt, I'm not worth it. I'm the opposite of the L'Oreal gal.
Yeah.
Where she's worth
it.
You're not worth it. My mom would be her greatest rival at that horrible sorority they were living in. We're not worth it. We're cruel. So now it's $1,600 versus under $200.
Yeah.
And I said to Matt,
wow.
I said, Matt, I still might abide by this. I might squeeze the trigger on it, except for I know it's going to be my head. Yep. And what's going to happen is when I get onto the plane, because you get to get on the plane first, wouldn't apply to any other mode of transportation. Hey, we're taking a bus ride to Phoenix. You paid seven times as much, eight times as much as the guy behind you. You get to sit on the bus for 20 minutes and watch him get on board.
Nope. Right.
And when we're fully loaded, 23 minutes later, then the bus is leaving to Phoenix. We're taking a donkey to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. You, who paid more than eight times as much, get to get on the donkey first, and then we'll get everyone else on their donkey, and one on your donkey, and then we'll leave. That doesn't sound like a perk to me. Right. Now, it is a perk if you get to sit on that plane and then they go, would you like a mimosa? And you go, oh, want to make it a double Bloody Mary? And she goes, can do. But there's no guarantee of that.
No, in fact, the chances are low.
The chances are you're going to get on the plane last, which is my move. Let everyone get loaded up, and then I'll get on the plane. I will pop the hatch above my seat. It'll be filled with everyone else's backpacks. I'll be doing a thing where I don't know, and I'll get to Kurt. Sir, there's the one. You can find some room in another one that's in another direction from above my seat.
Or we can gate check that for you.
I'll put it in there. And then as I'm sitting down, after paying $1,600 versus $184, I'll say, could I get a Bloody Mary? And they'll go, when we get to altitude, sir, let us push back. Let's get to altitude. Which is, and I don't think I'm going to use any hyperbole here. It kind of depends on when you sit down. If you get on 15, 20 minutes before the door shuts. Oftentimes, you'll do that on those morning flights. You go, could I get a Bloody Mary? And the person who's assigned to your area is helping someone else stuff in the overhead seven rows behind your thing. And you get the, sir, when we get to altitude, we'll be serving drinks. So for $1,600, you may go to a bar, sit down, order Bloody Mary, and 51 minutes later, you will get the Bloody Mary. And I don't think I'm exaggerating. If you sit down 15 minutes before that door shuts and then you do the whole pushback thing and the whole we're 11th in line for takeoff and then the whole we're now at 30,000 and we've leveled off.
Just from, the taxiing from that, and the waiting, yeah.
From the time you go, can I have that Bloody Mary, to the time that Bloody Mary hits your serving tray, I'd say over under 50 minutes.
Yeah. Around an hour. Reasonable. Absolutely.
Okay, so would anyone like to go to a sports bar that they paid $1,600 to get into and then sit down at the bar and order Bloody Mary and then about an hour later the thing shows up?
Nope.
And your TV is 9 inches?
The game's over.
Very telling. You look at the airplane as a bar.
I do. I look at it as a flying bar. So,
yeah, the drinks thing is not a factor in whether or not you should pay the money because, yeah, the drinks are free, but you can have all the Bloody Marys you want for $50 it's going to cost.
Right. Like, It's not the money because it's $5 a pop,
yeah,
and so
is,
you drink three. It's $15, or let's say you go nuts. You drink five Bloody Marys on the flight. It's still $25. So now we're up to $207 versus $1,600. Yes, and the food and everything else. No, it's really about sitting down and ordering a Bloody Mary versus. Ding. We'll get it when we level it off. And I do not know any way to ascertain that.
Yeah. If you don't have, I would say if you don't have at least an 85% chance of knowing you're going to enjoy that experience, then I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah. I think the other factor you have to consider, number one, flight time. Is this an early morning flight? Which leads to number two.
Still long flight.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Length of flight leads to number two, equipment. Is this a new plane with lie-flat seats in first class? Or are we talking just like janky ass first
class? No, it's never.
When we did first class to Costa Rica, it was a real letdown.
Yeah. See, you don't want to get on the plane with a 1600 tattooed in your mind.
No, it was an old.
And be like, oh boy, this seat, a bucket seat.
Yeah.
No good.
Now I've had that. Always looking at that. The next one is, this is an interesting little tidbit from Delta. So Mike and I flew with the Comfort Plus. Comfort Plus is you get the extra 3 inches of knee room.
Okay.
Every big airline has now their version of Economy
Business
Plus or yeah, it's effectively.
Okay. You get to board first. Again, the priority boarding is not a priority for me. I don't get the priority boarding any more than I don't get the Southwest when everyone queues up and you're in boarding section C and you're just standing in line and they're just going through our. Like, just if you're 38B, wait till you get halfway through 38 and then just walk up and hand someone. I do it every single time. I've gotten two responses when I say to the person, what number are you? And they'll go 34. I'll go, all right, I'm a couple after you. Fine. Or I'm in 34 and they most time go, yeah, go ahead. And you just walk in front of them and give the person your thing. Why are we standing in that line?
We're conditioned.
I'm not.
Excited to be.
I do the same thing with that lines cue. I do with red turn arrows. I just go right the
put your thumb over the
through them.
Put your thumb over the letter.
Yes. So you guys tell me this one. So Delta, we got the Comfort Plus. We flew from, I guess we're in Nashville. Yeah, we flew in Nashville and we flew back to L.A. And I noticed sitting one seat in front of Mike August that I did have my Comfort Plus knee room, but I looked in his row and he did not have it.
And he paid for it?
And he paid for it. Mm. Well,
it was paid for.
Let's put it this way.
It was paid for.
It was about an extra $70. So when I got back, I said, you know, Mike didn't get the Comfort Plus. He sat in the right seat and everything. And it said Comfort Plus on his whatever, but that's not how the row worked out for him. So I said to Fondelier, just get hold of Delta and just tell them they owe us $70
or
easy peasy.
Whatever it is, whatever the extra we paid, he didn't get it. I did. Mm-hmm. So they can keep my 70, but he didn't. So just return the $70.
Right.
And I got the report back from Matt maybe a couple days later. They gave us a $50 voucher.
For the $70 you're out?
Sweet. That's how I get rich, people.
Losing $20 at a time, each transaction.
Sell the Lamborghinis. See the corner
plus.
Office.
I named this one Comfort Plus.
That's right.
That's right.
So losing 28% on every transaction is how I get rich. You get me?
Wow, I'm doing it all wrong.
You
young entrepreneurs, you listening? This is how you do it. So I do what I do with everything, which is I'm not interested in the $20. I'm interested in their process.
Making
which is,
this right.
Hey, we charged you $70. We screwed you. Here's a $50 voucher.
I had almost the exact same experience at Delta, almost the exact same thing. I paid for Economy Plus or whatever the upgrade was because it was a long flight to a live show, maybe Detroit or something like that, Chicago, and they changed planes at the last minute. And my seat wasn't available, and I got bumped to a crappy seat. So I called and, you know, did the whole thing. You know, can I get a credit or something? I can almost guarantee this is what happened to Matt, because what happened to me. Oh, we can – they said, sure, we can offer you a $50 credit, to which I said, well, it was $70, so I'd appreciate it. And they said, okay. You kind of have – sadly – very sadly, you have to prod a little bit because their first instinct is just, let's make some money on
this
deal.
Well, tell Matt to get ready with the email, because I did prod a little. I don't prod myself. I pay others to prod.
You prod others to prod.
That's right. And I said, well, I'm so sorry that we have to do this in our adult lives, but now you must go back to them and tell them that, mostly out of principle, that this the $50 voucher is $20 short. So we're going to just need... There's this part of life where I've like let people shoot movies in my house, right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Shoot 2-hour movies. And then at some point, like I show up and I go, the carpet's all rolled up. They took a big rug and they slid it aside or whatever. And I go to roll it back out. It's a brand new rug. It's got a huge tear down the middle of it. And I go, what happened here? It was a brand new rug. They rolled it up. They moved it aside. They shot a bunch of stuff. And I rolled it back. And I haven't even lived at the house. It's got a huge edit. I call the producer. I go, hey, listen, I gave you the house for free, but we got to pay to repair the rug. We didn't tear it. I said, well, it was brand new. I wasn't living in the house. It was fine. And then you guys rolled it up and moved it. And then when I unrolled it, it had a huge tear down the middle of it. And they're like, yeah, we didn't do that. And I said, I don't know what else to say because I haven't been in the house and it's a brand new rug and you got to use the house for free to shoot an entire movie. And then they said, okay, tell you what, we'll split the cost of the rug.
Oh, man.
And I'm like,
listen, everyone.
Well, that's how I get rich, right?
Everyone knows that producers are the worst people in the world. But how the chutzpah it takes for someone to right away say, like, we didn't do that, to speak for an unknown number of crew and cast and whoever that came traipsing through there, and they're like, no, we didn't do that. Yeah. As if you know, number one, how many people came through? Number two, who came through?
Well, then number three, what if I was out of town and my neighbor said I got a dent in the rear quarter panel of my Camry and I went, I didn't do it. I was out of town. And they went, well, there's a dent. I went, all right, let's split the cost of the repair. Like, I wouldn't go to split the cost. That's pretty much stick with my first story.
Sorry for your dent, but
it was not around. It was not me. Right. So when you immediately go to, we'll split the cost, feels kind of weird. But then also, maybe you should pay for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because you shot in the house for free. But Matt, you got the email to Delta?
The email to Delta or the one from them?
Oh, from Delta is probably good. Okay,
the better one is the one from them.
It was $70, and then I told you $50 was nice, but we need to be made whole again.
Matt, read the subject line first.
Window of negligence.
And okay, you went to them, and you said, hey, the price was $70, and that's what we need the refund on, right?
Right, exactly. And they basically were arguing, listen, you paid for a Comfort Plus. Take a picture of your boarding pass. Like, prove that you didn't pay for Comfort Plus. And we're saying that's not what the issue is. We are aware that we paid for Comfort Plus, but that's not the seat that he was actually seated in. So then
there's another whole strata of life, which is people being wildly confused by pretty simple statements. We paid for this, but that's not what we got. Mm-hmm. So could we be reimbursed for the extra that we paid for this thing that we didn't receive?
Right.
Into photocopy your boarding pass and send it to us.
So the thing that we're saying we
paid for. Of you in the seat.
How much of life is loosely based on, I hope you either have a massive stroke in between this next thing I've asked you to do, or I have a massive stroke and I'm not at this computer anymore, but somehow, or third, which is you'll just run out of steam, like life will kick in, like maybe you'll find out when your kids have polio or something, you'll everything, something, but if I can give you enough homework, eventually you'll go away.
We'll keep kicking this can down.
That's what I used to do with Ray when he'd go, hey man, can I be on the morning radio with you and do some bits? I'd go, that's a great idea, Ray. Why don't you write down 10 ideas and bring them in and we'll take a look at them. And I knew that never since Ray's not capable of writing 10 things down and bringing them in, that would be my way of never having to put them on the morning radio.
And also, Matt, just to make sure, did you email the accounting department or did you email the customer service department?
This was customer care.
Yeah, okay, so customer care. And care you got.
I'll tell you first, I'll put myself in a better mood, then we can read this insane email. Also the part where, How long does it take to go back and forth with emails versus what's everyone's hourly wage?
I guess that's what they're there for.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, like, I'm here either way. Yeah. I'm typing this email.
All right.
Send the tennis ball back into his court.
Tommy John. Now I'm in a better mood. I love these things. I wear them. You wear them at the gym every day, man. Summer's gone, but the sweat, that ain't going away, man. I got a little kiln going down there. I don't care if there's steam coming out of my mouth. I got another kind of steam coming out of the groinal area. Tommy John, they will take care of you, man. 21st century men's underwear. Everyone here switched over. Nobody's ever going back. We're talking about packing for the road. The stuff that, it's funny. It goes from the ones I got go from just like a little above the knee to right up to the waist, but they take up no room.
They're perfect for packing.
Perfect for packing. Shoe. Easily done. No riding up. Impossible to get a wedgie. And time-saving horizontal quick draw fly, man. Socks that stay up all day. Patented undershirts that never come untucked. It's just the best. It's all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. It's Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Tommy John Dawson.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, so our Delta letter reads,
I appreciate the opportunity to further review your request. It must be frustrating to feel like you weren't heard. So I was happy to review your comments again to see if there was something I missed. Respectfully, there's nothing more I can add. Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I know this isn't the answer you were expecting.
That is the most condescending thing I've ever heard in my life.
Holy moly.
I can't believe I had the nerve to say that.
They have computers, right? They can see the plane. They can. Oh.
I mean, their seat map. When we bought the seat, you know, you click on a Comfort Plus seat. That's how the system knows to charge you for more money. And it's very easy to select a Comfort Plus seat.
That's a form letter.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Someone doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What do we? What's our move now?
Sadly, in my experience, calling and or contacting airlines, you got to call. They're much more willing to say yes if you talk to them in person.
Brian, are we working harder, not smarter? A lot of times this can be cleared up with a tweet.
Yes, and or yes, you the chat
especially
function.
Especially from this guy.
The chat function on their websites, yeah. Like all of a sudden watch the game.
No, but I mean like shouting out, you know. Yeah. And especially if Adam's displeased with this, I think this could be cleared up quickly.
Hashtag WTF Delta.
Yeah.
Get on that Twitter.
Window seat of negligence.
Pay more for that.
There you go. Dawson?
Cool. Yeah, so I feel really bad about that mistake I made earlier, and I want to make it up to you. Clean the palate with that one line that you really love.
Okay.
Here we go. It's been bugging me. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was a young boy, all dressed in white.
I feel better.
No,
it's the back of the Chevrolet, right? That's what you wanted.
I'm going to get to the chorus.
Here we go. Here we go.
That was it. I just talked over it.
I said I wanted to get to the chorus.
Well, you and I had a conversation when we were on the East Coast, Connecticut, I think, at that...
Yeah, hotel lobby.
Yeah, and this song was playing throughout the casino, and we had a lengthy conversation about how there are no longer any songs about making love in the back of a Chevrolet.
Now, I agree with that, and it's unfortunate that that line came before the song, the chorus, because it's one of those songs where you don't really know the song until they get into that part. Sure. So I was going to let it get into that part, and
well,
then
I'm over
wave
too,
you down.
Man. All
yes,
right,
yes, you are.
I'm going to turn this off.
All
number
right.
Three,
please, please do. All right, so Matt is going to have to call them now and try to get my $70.
I personally have had success, and I think that Gina's right. Yeah. I think from your Twitter account, go, hey, @Delta. And then when they see how many followers you have, I would be surprised if their social media team didn't jump in.
I think it'll be much easier, and you won't even have to do anything.
I don't like...
He's not doing anything now?
I don't like being that person for some reason.
No.
I don't know why. I don't mind saying douchey things on the internet. But I also feel like... Listen... you know, I like to think of myself as the Rosa Parks of Comfort Plus passengers.
It's been said many times.
What about the little guy that isn't a C-list celebrity and doesn't have a moderate amount of followers on Twitter? So you're saying you can fix this, but what happens when it happens to somebody else? How are we going to fix it for them?
This is the podcasting troll all over again.
That's right.
Yeah, this, you know, you're the guy he's going after now. It's going to trickle down.
Right. So I'm saying I would kind of prefer to fix it
old-fashioned, the
super expensive slow way.
Okay. That's how you get rich.
The inefficient way.
Yeah, the super inefficient slow way that's never going to work.
Okay.
I think so, because ultimately, you want these guys to just kind of do what's right, not do what's right for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you're you.
Well, I think in general, they don't like those tweets, but I just think it'll have an extra little bit of juice.
Right, but let's figure this one out here, Gina Grant.
Okay. Because I've had things solved, and I'm nobody.
Oh, yeah. You may be let. No. But what are we talking about? Because I've already wasted more of my money dispatching Matt to try to get my $20 to make me whole again.
Yeah, that's F me money.
So it's not about money.
Understood.
So if it's not about money, then it's sort of about principle. And then if you're doing the tweet, you get more about money and less about principle, because now you're forcing them to make you whole again because you're pressuring them versus them doing the right thing. So it's sort of flying in the face of what I'm trying to accomplish.
I understand that when you break it down, this is great. Well, when you break it down that way, I get it, but it is, it's just going to, I don't think you're going to get a good result.
Well, it's still worth it. So tell Matt to drop everything, to get on the phone and explain to Delta that we paid for Comfort Plus and we did not receive that seat. And we're going to need, if they have a $20 voucher they would like to send over.
Yeah.
But the reality is I don't need $70 worth of vouchers. I need $70 worth of dollars because I already paid for this thing.
They're guaranteeing that you have to spend it on them anyway.
It's a sad state of affairs, but do we have to go with a bigger ask? Like, I need $100 and hope to get to 70?
I don't know. For me, it's a weird thing, which is, well, not weird, but it's, you can get a ticket for $300 or you can pay $370 and get a Comfort Plus seat, and we've paid extra and they have it on your computer, and now you just go, we didn't get that seat, so it goes back to $300 and we get the $70 back. That's pretty simple exchange to me. But anyway. All right, what do I know? All right, Marlon Wayans is coming here. Cheers and jeers. Gary says from 1984 or 1983 TV Guide, but
which word came first? I think it was.
No, Gary, we got to figure out a way to communicate here. His note says Tears and Jeers from 1983, Tears for Fears from 1981.
The band?
Yes, the band.
Okay.
I thought that had come up as well. I was just.
No, it had come. No, nobody suggested that Tears and Jeers came from Tears, the band.
I thought you were saying you wanted to know which name came first. I misunderstood.
All right, Gary, we got
to
figure out something because this is going on a lot. Cheers and Jeers sound the same. Mm-hmm. Forget the band. Forget the carbonated beverage known as beers, because we're really going to get confused now. I want to know where Cheers comes from. Is it a word that TV Guide made up? Or did it exist before TV Guide made it up? I don't know. I didn't hear Cheers growing up. This'll smooth things over. All right.
This band name came from a controversial therapy technique where the therapist would cause you to cry and you'd get over your fears. This is actually a natural thing.
The first known use of the word jeer was in 1561.
1561. What was the first known use of the word cheers?
Great song.
We'll figure it out.
1930.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Well, like, as
hold
in,
on. No one said cheers before 1930?
Cheering, like a crowd cheering, or cheers, like you're clinking glasses?
As a toast, it was first used in 1930, according to Miriam.
Well, no, but not as a toast.
As an applause.
Yeah, but cheer.
Right, forget it.
To cheer for a team or a crowd cheering.
Why are we doing it as a toast? When did the as a toast part come in? Cheers.
Like, when you type in cheers, the first use that comes up is the toast one. I just was looking at
go past that one and go to the one where people cheer versus jeer, unless jeer has something to do with toasting. No. I was being sarcastic. All right. So cheers from 1300. Yes? And jeers from 1500. So some asshole who's probably dead by now. Probably.
Probably.
I'm not a mathematician or mortician.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
He's probably dead 200 years after someone invented the word cheers, said, I'm going to invent the opposite, but almost make it sound the same, calling it jeers.
Yep. And it's never going to catch on until the early 80s. 1980s.
And the band was formed in 81.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good band.
Good enough. All right. Where were we? Let me tell you about something you can cheer about. Simply Safe. I understand why some people, they don't get the home security system because they don't want to deal with it. Slimy sales guys, long-term contracts, expensive installations. You don't want to bother with that. I'll tell you what you want to bother with. Simply Safe. Get the best protection and you do it easily. And all you have to do is get the Simply Safe home security system. Peel and stick, put it up. Just took a tour of the Dawson domicile. It's got a Simply Safe up and rocking.
That's right. Took it out of the old place, up again within, it took me about 30 minutes. A lot more doors.
Top of the line protection. No long-term lock-in contracts or hidden fees. Just order it online, set it up, and do it in under an hour. Get your family protected 24/7 and get 10% off. Now, at simplysafe.com/M, that's simplysafe.com/M. Get the 10% off, or you can pick it up at your local Best Buy. All right, yes.
Well, I was going to say, according to Wikipedia, the band's name, Tears for Fears, came from Primal Therapy, developed by psychologist Arthur Janoff.
One more reason to hate my mom.
No, colloquially is Tears for Fears.
Wow.
I was thinking about Primal Scream. Yep. Primal Scream, again, where Ray found that out. I never wanted to know that. And then he filled my ears with it. I couldn't unhear it.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in your youth.
Yeah. All right. Gary, you got Neil deGrasse Tyson and Dr. Hibbert from The Simpsons?
Yeah. Which order would you like to go first?
Well, don't tell us.
We'll yeah. We got to hear him. We got to guess.
Wow.
Do it again.
I think that's us. But.
Wow.
Now, when I have these sorts of thoughts, my first impression is that Simpsons are huge. Dr. Hibbert's fairly well known, and he looks a little like Neil deGrasse. I mean, they got the same, mm-hmm. same body shape and everything. This must be something that has come up.
Yeah, like
he's a jovial, funny
once
guy.
Or twice.
He also runs with a nerd crowd.
He's a doctor.
And he's a doctor, and he runs with a crowd. The same group that worships at the altar of Simpsons probably loves him and his shows and his TED Talks and everything else. Think this, and this has been going on for 20 years. Yeah. Never came up. Never came up.
Uncanny.
Well, never to his face, obviously.
Yeah, I fully expect to bring that stuff up and then be embarrassed because they go, yeah, all the time, never ends, or you're the 33rd person to bring that up. So do not think you're that clever or unique. Many a person has brought this up when I was in grad school would come up or whatever it is. Simpsons almost been on that long. But pretty damn close.
Mm. That is quite a talent.
Good.
Yeah, that's why I make the big. So discovering fictional characters on The Simpsons
similarities
and beyond
between
could be Bob's Burgers and astrophysicists and coming up 40% short on my payback when it comes to buying tickets.
It's a recipe for success.
That's
between that.
Why I got the corner office, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
So I don't know if you jinxed me or if this was just a cruel coincidence, and I tweeted this picture last night. I don't know if you saw, but no sooner did you talk about the horribleness of the squash did I get that laid on me last night in my takeout order when I asked for broccoli.
I saw it. It's so bad. Now, the one I got, what we're looking at is a nice big picture of summer squash taking up way too much space. You still got a fair bit of broccoli.
Yeah, I did.
What I got was mostly all summer squash and a couple of florets of broccoli. And I don't know if you guys are with me. I was watching this. And I was looking at, you sent me a picture, you tweeted out there, and I saw it. I remember, and I started to kind of think like, and I have these thoughts all the time.
Does anyone really want this in their medley?
No.
Like, when they say medley...
Boy, I hope I get more squash.
If they say, I want more of this, like, tasteless, fibery, kind of gooey mess that... It not only does it have no flavor... It can receive no flavor.
There's too much of it.
It repels flavor. It's a flavor repellent. It's like having your seats scotch guarded. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and spill all the grape juice you like. It just repels it. The flavor beads on top of it. It's a flavor repellent. It's like it's too chunky. It doesn't absorb whatever you want.
I said, you know what? This isn't that bad, actually, because this is a nice shape. I can dunk that in the tzatziki sauce. I did that. Pull it up. No tzatziki on it. It just runs off.
Beads. We've sent this summer squash to 50 consecutive car washes, and the water still beads. And tzatziki sauce still beads.
The wiper's still clean.
Yeah.
God, I used to miss commercials where they abuse stuff. Like, we're at this junkyard to prove a point. I've got this sledgehammer and this Highland Ram. It's an actual Longhorn Ram. I've got an actual mountain dwelling Ram and this sledgehammer, and we're at this wrecking yard to prove a point. It sounds like the guy do something, and they used to do everything. We'd put the vinyl on it, and we'd run the car through 100 car washes, and the final top still, like they're trying to abuse it, trying to break it.
My buddy Phil from Flex Seal's keeping that flame alive. He's the last one, man.
There's two
we
guys.
Took this boat and this screen door.
Took a sawzall and we cut it in half. Then we got gator infested waters. I love that guy. There's two guys that are keeping the punishment and abuse inflicted upon the product alive, or inflicted upon your home or your ski boat or whatever it is alive. It is that guy. It's the guy with the Flex Seal.
Phil
with the Flex Seal, who's cutting... He's taking aluminum boats and he's cutting them in half and then taping them back together and heading out to the Everglades with them. Or he's building a fan boat out of screen doors and then spraying that on. That guy's keeping it alive. And there's another guy, ex-Army Ranger guy, with the flashlight.
And that guy with the flashlight.
We took this and we froze it in a block of ice. And every time I see it, they run over it endlessly with a Humvee. It still works. But I think to myself, if you were somewhere and just a scenario happened that your flashlight was actually frozen in a block of ice, I think you'd be dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can't think of a scenario.
I can think of no scenario
that doesn't involve me dying long before the flashlight does. That means I fell into a lake and the flashlight came with me and three winters passed.
Your final thought and your view for eternity is that flashlight still working.
What is the scenario where your flashlight is frozen in a block of ice and you go unscathed? Every single time I see that goddamn commercial, it's all I can think about. What would happen? Yeah. What would happen? And then I start doing this one. Well, if the flashlight was on me and I was run over by Humvee repeatedly, I probably wouldn't care about the flash. You know, it's a $12 flashlight. It works fine. Good. Will it to Sunny. But I start thinking, like, here's how I work. So I'm walking on the treadmill, the gym over there, and I'm seeing the thing. And I go, frozen in ice, I would be dead. Run over by the Humvee, maybe I left my flashlight out, and I was in a pup tent over by the side of the road, and then the Humvee ran over my flashlight.
Okay.
I could see a scenario where the flashlight was run over by a Humvee, and then I still... Gary, find that commercial that it's the guys like... All these... The guys, they're perfect. They're all energy and arms, you know what I mean? And they're always like
they're pseudo military, they're paramilitary,
like right.
Boot camp,
they have a little sign that says like it'll be like retired rear admiral or something or some special forces or Green Beret or something, and he's got this flashlight, and it's always about just how much abuse it can take. But my feeling is, all my flashlight really has to survive is the roll off the kitchen counter and land on the tile floor test. Frozen in ice, run over by half track. Don't need that much out of a flashlight.
No,
you're asking a lot. Way more than you need.
Yeah.
The average person. I told you I vacationed with Phil, right? He was at the Hawaii hotel we were at 2 years ago, and he was wearing merch. And so I knew who he was. Like, I mean, I kind of recognized him, and then he had the Flex Seal shirt and the Flex Seal hat in the elevator. And I was like, and I looked at the guy who was next to him, the younger guy. I was like, is that? He's like, yeah, it's my dad.
Oh, wow.
Oh, his dad.
Yeah. And he never stops wearing the merch.
That's him. Mm. Like, all right.
Okay.
Phil.
So I'm trying to think, Gary, what would this be for a super magnum light or something like that?
It's called the indestructible flashlight.
I want to know. I want to know what things we would survive. Nick Bolton.
Here we go.
He has a flashlight. But can your flashlight do this? Or how about this? The Bell & Howell Tactical Flashlight flashlights used by elite military units, the Bell & Howell Tac Light can do things no ordinary flashlight can do.
A lot of white folk breaking into homes,
these
days.
It's so bright, it can be seen up to 2 nautical miles away. And if that's something that goes bump in the night turns out to be someone, only a Tac Light has a super bright strobe
another white
that
dude busting into a house.
Would-be attackers. A car battery will stop working in sub-zero temperatures.
Oh, here we go.
But even getting frozen in a block of ice couldn't make our tack light stop working.
Again, I'd be dead.
And it'll keep working when fully submerged in water.
I think I
even
might be
212
dead.
Degree boiling water.
I'm definitely dead. Yeah. All right, hold it. Pause it. If it's in boiling water, then I'm dead, too.
As
I,
your
like,
skin
I fell
cooks
into-
off. Oh, the flashlight.
How'd the tour of the brewery go? Are the kids here? Gather the family. Gather the family.
Hold this flashlight, which, by the way, still works
still
fine.
Working fine.
Go ahead, give it a shot.
It's Adam's skin that's still on it. But, yeah, you can clean that off. All right, so frozen block ice. I don't think I'm going to survive that. Mm-mm. It's a small flashlight, so I'm going to assume it's, like, on me. Boiling water, I'm not going to survive that. So, again, not interested if the flashlight makes it. Underwater in the aquarium, maybe I could swim to safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Say that's a coin
that's
toss.
That's reasonable.
Let's see what else. Is he going to run over it with the Jeep?
It's tough enough to survive getting run over by a Humvee. Try that with a regular flashlight. Compact and lightweight, it goes mm-hmm. where you go. So you can feel safe in dark places at night.
This is another problem. It goes where I go, into the boiling pot,
situations.
Into the frozen pond.
And there's never been a better choice for camping, fishing, or hunting.
That
what
is
else?
Way too close
Five
to the
preset
time.
Modes. It's made of high-grade aircraft aluminum. The Bull Blast 100,000 hours. I mean,
hold on.
It's just nothing
Let's
like
pause
them.
For a second. I'm not sure if I'm going to be alive more than like 10,000 hours. I mean, with a flashlight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like my.
If that's all you got.
If I use, hey, Gary, you're a math guy. I take Philly cheesesteak for a walk almost every night. Take Sunny, Lynette sometimes. Take a nice lap of the neighborhood. Let's just say for the sake of argument, it's an hour-long walk because it's probably more like 45 minutes. But let's just say for an average, it's an hour. If I do that 365 days a year, and so that's a year. I don't know when I get to 100,000 hours. I mean,
100,000 or 10,000?
Oh, I don't know where they're at.
10, yeah.
They're at 100, I think.
Oh, they're at 100.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to use that. I don't get that much out of it either.
Is that 25 years or is my math off?
Phil
will have long been dead.
It's 1,000 every 3 years. So it's.
I think
30 years would be approximately 10,000 hours. I'm not going to make it that long.
No.
Yeah.
I drink a lot on airplanes.
You got to etch onto there who you're willing it to.
Yeah, because I got another 90,000 hours
Dear
on this.
Dear Sonny Jr.,
I'm bequeathing this.
Yeah, for me to get to 30 years would be like 11,000 hours or something like that. Carrier, you can figure it out. But anyway, it's more flashlight than I need.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't need made out of aircraft material either. I feel
flashlight
like,
/ family heirloom. I mean, this is going on for generations.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You can finish the commercial. That's how I obsess on these things.
Park it today. But this offer won't last long. So here's how to get yours.
All right. I'm not good enough for that flashlight is basically what I'm saying.
It's aimed at a higher.
Yeah. It's made out of black box material.
Yeah.
That's right, airplane grade. Yeah.
That's right. All right. Let's see. Now, Marlon Wayans is running a little late. Is that correct?
That is correct. He will be here shortly.
But we know he's running.
That is correct.
Oh. Hmm. Hey, Gary, let's construct a running late sign because that'll let me know. That'll let me know you know something. Sometimes we do know and sometimes we don't know. But if we get a running late sign, that'll be good. All right. We got the game to play. Yeah. Does Kalen got any phone calls or anything? What do we got?
We do not have any phone calls coming in right
now.
Well,
let's play the game.
Yeah.
Let's play the Rotten. We're doing a Marlon Wayans Rotten Tomato game, and I think we should just do that.
By the way, if you were to walk the dog every single day, it would take you 273 years kill that flashlight if you had it on.
See, I don't think I'm going to live that long.
Yeah, my math is based on 10,000 hours.
You're being negative, but you might be on a side.
273 years.
274 if you round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I'd get about 10,000 out of that, which would be, what, 1/10? And yeah. Okay. It's good. This is more flashlight than I need. We should tell this guy, lieutenant colonel, that he's intimidating regular folk. Yeah. Like, I'm not a military guy.
Yeah, I like a good flashlight, not the best flashlight.
Right. That's, again, it's too much flashlight for this civilian. All right, let's play the game.
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it. Got some names of flicks. The gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh. If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5. It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
So, Gina, when you sent me that picture of your summer squash, I literally was sitting around thinking, I wonder if I was the president, if I could, like, make summer squash illegal.
Oh.
Like, I could somehow, like, legislate this. Like,
big squash, you have something to say about that.
Nobody I know wants this. Nobody wants it. We all want, there's 1,000 vegetables we want ahead of this.
That's
and it's
true.
Taking up so much room, and nobody wants it. Like, what, that's my thing in life. If I found a large group of people is what I love it. I wish there was more of it and less broccoli. I would never dream of it, but I can't think of a person who wants that in there.
That's funny.
And it drives, it makes me want to never have it happen again. Cause I know it's happened to me 350 times where I just went, I'll just pick around that. And then I realized they don't have to do it.
You know what we should do? We should start a campaign with a picture of a squash with, like, you know, the circle and the line that just says squash it.
Squash it.
Ooh. Let's
put a poll out there. I want to know who likes summer squash. And I do not want the when it's shredded used in place and
covered
boiled
in
pasta and marinara. No, just the steam that shows up in the medley. Mm-hmm. Who wants that in there? Okay. Go ahead, Dawson.
All right. So as you said, every movie has Marlon Wayans in it. We will start with a movie that tells some parallel stories. A lot of them have to deal with addiction. It's very, very disturbing. Marlon stars in this movie as Tyrone C. Love alongside Jared Leto and Jennifer Connelly as heroin addicts in 2000's Requiem for a Dream.
This movie messed me up for many, many days.
It's very disturbing.
Yeah.
It's also great. I mean, it's a war of art.
Sleepless nights.
Movies like this always sort of makes me realize, like, no matter how good they are, I want to sleep.
It's not a fun watch.
All right. But you guys say it's great.
But it was intense. I don't know what the, you know, when the critics were able to stomach it.
83.
94.
91.
Requiem for a Dream is certified fresh at 78.
And the
audience had it 93.
Wow.
Okay. I'm actually really shocked. This is
me too.
I thought it was like critical darling.
Me too.
Our next movie. I'm just going to read the description here because it's awesome. In the kingdom of Izmir, wizards use their magic to rule the land.
Oh, man.
The young empress, Savina, desires to use magic for good.
Adam, take it over from here.
But the evil Profion plans to utilize his powers to usurp the throne from Savina and subject the kingdom to totalitarian rule.
What are you talking about?
Marlon Wayans plays Snails in 2000's Dungeons & Dragons.
Huh. Oh, my God.
This was a massive hit.
Oh, boy. All right. This kind of thing and hobbity kind of stuff and all this kind of stuff, I file it under summer squash, which is, I have no idea how it works. I don't know who's into it, but it shows up on every plate times 10 million times a day. So somebody must be into it.
It's not your genre.
All right. I don't think anyone likes.
That's funny you compared it to Hobbit stuff because one is a legitimately very good movie, and this is
the book or the game.
Mythology.
It didn't work. 19%.
11.
20.
Dungeons & Dragons is rotten at 10%. Mm.
people have it at 19. 15-point deduction for the Ace Man.
Our next film, Marlon plays a character named Shorty in a movie that blends classic scenes from Scream, The Sixth Sense, The Matrix, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and The Blair Witch Project. Then goes on to whole myriad of teen movie cliches. In 2000's Scary Movie.
Lots of...
You guys seen this?
Oh, yes. Many times.
I love this movie.
And a huge franchise.
Yeah.
That decreasing quality, yeah. But the first one, fantastic.
Yep.
Okay, but what did the critics say? The critics, yes, lots of funny stuff in this movie, but they couldn't have loved it.
Anna Faris making her debut. I believe she was an unknown at this point.
That's right.
They plucked her out of obscurity.
Yeah.
All right, we laughed. The critics are uptight, and for that, we give it 49.
Ooh, 50.
68.
Scary Movie is rotten. At 53%.
Oh, that's too bad.
I think this is a pretty tight-ish game.
Yeah. You had a good one on the first one.
Next up, big movie starring Keenan Ivory Wayans. And probably this movie is the main reason for me muttering underneath my breath every time we're eating barbecue. How much for a rib?
Just one rib.
Even one rib.
Pour him a hand.
In 1988, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Big film in the grad house.
Not a great film, but that scene with the ribs.
You watch your mouth.
Is perfect. The rib scene is perfect.
All right. I remember Eve Plum was in this movie from the Brady Bunch. She wasn't a star in it. She was in a scene, and I was at the Groundlings with her. What year did this thing?
Wow.
88.
Yeah. Must have been at the Groundlings with her then. All right, the critics like this, but they love it. They think they like these kinds of movies.
There's a huge birth, I think, for this one. It could be
any
number. Yeah, it's a 25-point birth.
I'm going to say that kind of because of the parody.
It's a smart movie. It's undeniably sharp.
77%.
Close, 68.
61.
I'm Going to Get You, Sucker is fresh. At 64%.
Okay. People have it at 70. All right, very close.
Final movie. Marlon Wayans plays a character named Bugaloo in a movie co-starring Tupac Shakur and Dwayne Martin about a high school basketball store torn between his loyalties to a drug dealer and an ex-ball player. 1994's Above the Rim.
Brian, do you see this?
No. No. Using it with the one that Ray Allen was in. Game?
Yeah. All right, it's tough. I think we're pretty close. Everyone's within striking distance of one another here.
What year is this?
94.
Okay.
Shoot, either. And so, I kind of remember hearing good things, and people like Tupac, and...
It's close. This game's close.
Very close.
It's tough.
This one could be in the 80s. It could be in the 50s. 61.
66.
No idea. 41.
Above the Rim is rotten at 53%.
Right? Okay. Ever been a three-way tie?
Very tight. People had it at 83. You don't normally see that kind of space in these kinds of movies. People like this movie.
We've got a very tight game here. But we'll start with third place, and it will tell you the gender of the third place winner is female.
Damn it.
Gina Grad, 53 points, leaving Adam and Brian.
53 is the best third place score we've had.
2 points separated, you guys. Who's on top? Well, Brian, you know how happy it makes me when you lose. Today is not one of those days. 37 for the win to Adam's 39.
Wow.
Wow.
Very close.
Sorry to disappoint.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game.
I'm not really sorry.
You know how we do it.
All right. Marlon Wayans is out there. We'll take a quick break. We'll listen to a little good sports. And we'll be right back with Marlon after this.
Good sports. Marshall Love's Fights.
riffing on bad Stallone movies, raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Good Ace is getting talking.
Shooting jerks with blasters. Nate's only podcast. Ace and Shecky, let's do it.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to this presentation by Podcast One Sports of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. Ace, it's Friday. Let's bring the sports scene home to the listener. What shall we tackle today? You want to do a little over-under? You want to go upon further review? Actually, yeah, that was a good one from last week, so let's do that. Doug Brackman tweeted this one over to us. Upon further review, everybody liked it a lot when it first came around. Where are you now, though, on hummus?
Hummus is good. I like hummus. We had this weird relationship with hummus, and it's interesting, and I think it speaks to us and the spirit of America. And there's a lot, you know, we're going through some turbulent times. And there's a lot of people.
I heard about that.
They're down on the US of A. But let's really break this down.
Like a chickpea.
When nobody really cared or heard of Al-Qaeda or ISIS or any of what's going on in the Middle East and the homegrown terrorists and sleeper cells and mosques. We didn't know when I was growing up. We didn't know what Tikrit was. We didn't know about when Osama bin Laden was knee-high to a boll weevil. We didn't know. We didn't care. Yet the Middle Eastern cuisine was not on the menu. It was considered weird. You know, all the tabbouleh and the hummus and the stuff we couldn't pronounce and the lamb and the different chutneys and stuff, the different sauces and things.
If there was a restaurant in Pittsburgh serving it when I was growing up, I'm not aware of where it was.
No, and nobody ever announced, like, you know, when I was 19, let's get some falafel. You know, we'd get a hoagie or a sub, a grinder, whatever it was. You had permanente. So we did not eat it then. It was considered...
I don't think I'd ever heard of it.
The whole place, it was considered exotic and weird and a little off. You know, we had our Italian and Mexican and Chinese and then, of course, steaks and potatoes and stuff. But this felt weird and exotic. Now, I would argue that if you took a chart and you took that chart... You took that chart and you started in 1970, right?
Yeah.
1970, and you went, average Americans, fear of Middle Easterns, fear of terrorists, fear of ISIS, fear of Al-Qaeda, you'd have it at almost zero. Look, I don't know what's going on over there. I don't even know where over there is, but let them settle it. I'm not worried about it here. Okay. And by the way, who are these groups? I don't even know who they are. 1970. And then you also made a graph that said consumption of food from that land. You'd also be
near zero.
As the years have worn on and our awareness of Al-Qaeda and bin Laden and ISIS and all this stuff and the sleeper cells and the homegrown stuff and the internet and all the fear of that has gone up. Our consumption of food from that land has actually gone up. It probably outpaced the awareness and fear of it. And at a time when you can't turn on the news without hearing about a mosque that's under surveillance and this imam that's out there preaching death to the infidels, we're all going out and eating hummus and falafel and the gyro or the gyro or the gyro. No one can pronounce it with... with the pita bread and everything else. So doesn't that make us the greatest country in the world?
That's what I was wondering. So what does it all mean?
It means we're progressive. It means we vote with our taste buds. And it means we don't discriminate. Because if you took...
There is something to that.
There's a lot to it. Let me say this.
You're right.
Let's go to the Middle East and let's say we just open a McDonald's there. And let's just say... nobody ate McDonald's in 1970, but now a bunch of Irish terrorists started showing up. the McDober gang. And they were blowing stuff up and driving rental trucks on sidewalks and mowing people down and stabbing
people.
Yeah,
the local corned beef and cabbage joint would not make it. It would not succeed.
It would be burned to the ground. Burned to the ground. There wouldn't be lines around the block for it. So I would say the fact that our consumption of food from that land has gone up with our awareness of it, of terrorists and folks who come from that land, I would say that makes us inherently more tolerant and better than any other nation in the world.
USA. Hey. That's really great. You know what I always say about American food is, or one of the great things about the U.S. is we are at worst the second best at making every kind of food in the world, you know?
Right.
You know, and in some cases, I dare say, you've been to Italy. I think, and Kimmel goes crazy because I've said this to him before, I think American pizza is superior to Italian pizza.
You're right.
Because it's like that weird bread. And I, from what I understand, I've never been to China, but I understand that American Chinese food is nothing like that. And a lot of people who try it, they're like, oh, no, it doesn't taste.
No, if you ever go to a real sushi place, like a real sushi place, about 45 minutes in of just eating live eel, like at some point, you'll say, I swear to God, I will blow somebody if they bring me a bowl of rice. If I could get a bowl of rice, I will blow somebody because it's like nothing. We take the fat from the inner lining of the eel's skin and we spread it on your tongue with a popsicle stick. And it's like, no, this is real. This is real sushi. We take the abalone and we crack the abalone open and it's still moving, you know, and it's like, real sushi is so hardcore. It's trapped on an island. Yeah. Like it's eating like urchin that's squirting ocean water into your face. Like you want
Hanks and Castaways cuisine, right?
You will blow somebody for a little teriyaki and some tempura and some rice. You will. You'll be going. Lynette and I were invited, a fan who makes the best stuff. It's the best. It's the best. But at a certain point, you go, I gotta get a little rice here. Mm-hmm. Like I'm eating nothing but the best raw fish, and you'll go like, can we dip it in a little kikkoman? Oh no, you don't touch it, it's just fish. Like it's weird, and maybe we're soft. Like I don't need, by the way, I don't need to challenge myself from a culinary standpoint.
It supplants actual courage. Culinary courage is that Anthony Bourdain, like, I've tried every kind of meat in the world. Like, good for you. I don't know. What does that get? What banner is there for trying different kinds of, I've eaten that creature, but I've eaten aardvark before.
Yeah.
Who cares?
These are the same people. We know a few of them. We'll leave the names off, but they make the paella with squid ink. And you're like, why are you squirting squid ink into it? It's like, hey, makes it good. They're like, no, paella's awesome. Now it's black and it's weird.
Weirdest one is, what's that? Is it like, isn't it some kind of a blowfish or something like that? That if you prepare it wrong.
Fugu.
Fugu, is that what it is, really?
Yeah.
You can die from it?
Yeah.
Why, who wants this risk? Who takes this challenge? What to what end? Why are you doing that?
Are we
that?
Out of cows and teriyaki sauce?
Listen, if you want to jump out of an airplane and see and all that kind of stuff, oh, I'm living. I'm not just surviving. All right, but is it really living to eat a piece of fish that might kill you if it's prepared wrong? That seems like a weird way to check out.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think, they're not going to add a new chapter to Profiles in Courage because you died from eating a poisoned fish.
Also, I don't know why I'm thinking about challenges, but the idea of going down in a shark cage, I don't know, that doesn't make you a hero. I just feel like if I got into a cage and we got like Brock Lesnar drunk and I was like, hey, homo. And he's like, damn you, Carl, I'm not gay. Oh, really? You got a big cock tattooed on your chest. That's a sword. And I was just sitting in a cage, and I was sitting like on a lawn chair, and I was like, I don't know. I heard you're gay. No, damn it. Would that make me a hero? No, I'm asking.
No, it's not. I'm just asking.
I want to know. Ernest Bigot wants to know. No, I'm just saying, like, that doesn't make me a hero. It just makes me a guy with a cage around me. Like, you want to get into the octagon and make fun of the guy.
If you are out in the wilderness brave. and get mauled to your demise by a tiger, all right, that happened in the natural events of I feel you're manufacturing that in a
I'm
way.
Sitting, yeah. What if, forget about Brock Lesnar. Let's just go Bengal tiger, and I just sit in a cage. I go, hey, I heard you're gay, or I don't know, whatever. I don't know if you say something. I don't know what you do. I got to tie a pork chop around my neck, and I just sit in there. And the tiger,
a Bengal tiger,
yeah. And the tiger's just like looking at me and scratching it. But does that make me a hero or brave or anything? This means I have extra money. That's all it means. That just means I have extra money and time.
All right, listen, I think we figured a lot of stuff out once again here on another good week of good sports on Podcast One Sports. Let's wrap it up here. A job well done, Ace, and we'll talk to everybody next week. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports, good sports. Good
sports. Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time. Finally, for America's Lakers podcast. That's right, I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers podcast. My man Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers podcast exclusively at podcastone.com, the podcastone.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all the delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, podcastone.com.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly, with his co-host, Elna Baker. They have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
I become hooked in the show back in 2012. I have been listening ever since. Adam, his amazing combination of the hilarious, caustic, self-deprecating, and wise, the absolutely hell me style, sang and war.
From your mouth to God's ears. Go to iTunes, rate, and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review, too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Marlon Wayne's in studio. Good to see you again, my friend.
Good to be here. What was that?
Exactly.
That's Waldo Castillo. I met him about 25 years ago.
And you refused to teach him any English at all.
He refuses to learn, but I tell people all the time, I had to build buildings with that guy.
If I went to Russia for 25 years, you know how fluent in Russian I'd be?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be crazy.
Yeah. I don't think he's understood in his homeland of Nicaragua either, but I won't go back there with him because I fear safety.
He's like, there's some black people I understand. Like, designer. I don't know what the hell he's saying on Panda. I'm confused.
Yeah.
There's a song, Panda, all black people need a Negro interpreter to know what he said.
But here's the problem with me being a white guy. Like, I can't say I don't know what that black guy's saying, because I feel like that's a cultural attack or something. Well, you can say.
I can sometimes understand what white guys are saying.
Like, what, is there white guys that
y'all just use
of?
These big words that's unnecessary. It's just like, you know, thesaurus words.
And well, I'm now just you're like, just being loquacious.
There you go. That's that word right there. It's just unnecessary.
That's a Wayans sibling.
It's unnecessary.
Marlon is doing stand-up tonight, as you hear this, Friday night and Saturday night.
Yes.
Also, Oxnard Levity Live. We'll be then there for what's called the Sloppy Second Show on Sunday, just mopping up after Marlon. Tickets.
I'll leave you some. You guys probably sold out all Sunday. How many shows are you doing?
We're just doing just a 7 o'clock live podcast there on Sunday night. And Mike August, the Stone Pelican, is going to be doing the news in Gina Grad's place.
This is so insane. I'm going to help him as much as I can.
So we've found out. Tickets available.
So it's just the All-Star team.
You can get tickets at Levity Live for Marlon's show and our show as well. And then he's doing a stand-up special, which is coming up next Saturday, November 18th. It's the MGM National Harbor in D.C., and that's going to be filmed, right?
Yes, that's going to be filmed for Netflix November 18th, my first stand-up special. And then after that, I got I'm going to be at the December 8th through 10th. I'm at the Tempe Improv. Get your tickets.
The doing movies, we'll talk about that, TV shows, stand-up. So the Wayne's crazy work ethic, where does it come from?
Probably
do we
slavery.
Know? It's just being horribly oppressed and never wanting to go back.
Probably slavery. No, it probably, you know, we just learned that good work ethic there and we just kept it moving. I get it, honestly, from my dad. My dad worked very hard to feed 10 kids and not know how you're going to feed them every day. He improvised his way through our nutrition. So every day he woke up and was like, all right, how the hell am I going to feed these kids today? And he would do it legally. But he made it happen.
Your dad and your mom, your dad did what?
Had sex with my mom at least 10 times.
And how did he get paid?
Oh, okay. Definitely not from that. He got paid. My dad, he was always, he wanted to be an entrepreneur. He used to have good jobs. Like, he worked at Drake's Cake and he had jobs with benefits. And that's when my mom would, you know, give him some. But once he was like, I'm tired of working for the man. I want to do my own thing. And I want to be an entrepreneur. Poor being the operative word, he was like, all right, I'm going to start my own business. So he started selling, and he was always like either before the curb, the big hit, or after. So, for example, like the condoms. He sold condoms right before AIDS hit.
Oh.
And then he stopped. And
damn,
my mom was like, why do you stop now? Now is when everybody's using them. You're selling them in the 70s. Nobody wants them. 80s, everybody need them, and you're going to quit. Venus and Sarita raids. My dad used to sell those, but like between the time, like when the fad went out, like after Rick James went to jail and before Venus and Serena got like famous. Like,
right.
So he was always like, he was just bad timing.
But your dad selling condoms is like James Corden selling workout equipment. Like, it just feels weird.
Who would know better?
He never got high on his own supply.
So I think about this all the time, and I don't think
my
a lot of people
selling condoms.
Yeah, no, I think about work in this business and just how you have to get up every day and just hit the ground running, like almost every day. Like I think there's a thought that Marlon Wayans is Marlon Wayans, like, so he's Marlon Wayans. Like, most, like, civilian people just go, well, he's him, or Jimmy Kimmel's just Jimmy Kimmel.
That's his Latin life.
That's who he is, but
it's a grind.
If Jimmy Kimmel stopped being Jimmy Kimmel for, like, 20 minutes, we just move right on past him. Like,
absolutely.
Like an athlete that just blows his knee out and is out of the league for a year, it's just right on, it's just right by,
that's
right?
Why Jimmy Kimmel continues to work, so he could be Jimmy Kimmel. Marlon Wayans works, because if I stop being Marlon Wayans, they could always replace me with Damon, Sean, Kanan. I'm easier. Jimmy's only one of him.
Well, like, his older brother, John.
It's like Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, but either, like,
I get there's like a, then I got nephews and nieces to replace me, younger, better looking versions of me. So I got to work.
Well, do you feel so? You just and so is it? Do you enjoy? I don't mean do you enjoy it? I guess what I'm saying is
I love it.
How much of it is feels like this is just what I do versus man, do I love? Man, am I enjoying myself?
I feel it's a combination of this is what I do in order to enjoy myself. Because, look, I love the fact that I could go on stage and be funny for an hour and I can, you know, travel the world. I can, you know, like meet the fans and like, you know, like just challenge my work ethic. See if a joke works in all 52 states. See if it works overseas. Like, you know, come back, write movies, put the movie out. See if people think that movie's funny or not, or watch fans laugh, or, you know, do social media. I love, I know I'm doing what I'm purposed to do because I actually love it. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do press. So there's, like, I work every day. It's like, there's not a day off until I go on a vacation, like once or twice a year where I go, I'm taking a week and I'm not doing nothing but drinking. And I don't want to, no repercussions. I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's like vacation to me. Like, but otherwise, I mean, I write movies during the day. I'm developing TV shows. I'm writing my TV show, working on my TV show. Then I got, on the weekend, I'm doing stand-up. So I'm constantly always working and doing press.
Naked is also the name of the movie available now on Netflix.
Yes.
I watched a trailer last night. It's very funny. It's got a kind of Groundhog's Day sort of element.
Like Groundhog's Day, Bill Murray was black and had a nice butt.
Yeah, and he's naked quite a bit. And in pretty fantabulous shape for a 45-year-old man.
Squats.
What do you, it says here you take 100 vitamins a day.
I just took some more just recently. And I'm on a cleanse, so I'm not having no liquor, no dairy, no wheat, no gluten, no red meat.
How's the cleanse work?
It's awesome. You take 2 shakes a day. You take three packs of vitamins. You eat a meal and a snack. And you just drink lots of water. And, you know, it cleans out all the bad yeast in your body, all the candida. You age backward like, you know, like 10, 15 years. I'm 45. If I shave this ass hair off my face, I literally look 25 years old.
Whose ass hair is it?
It's LeBron's.
Wow, oh God, you guys really are tight.
He lent it to me.
Wow. Yeah, Marlon is naked in this movie.
He had some leftover that he didn't put on the top.
Running down the street and tackled by the cops. Looks amazing. Also, did you get tackled naked in the street when you were filming that?
Because
it looks a lot like you, and it looked like you went down pretty good.
Onto a mat. I love this job. I don't love it enough to do my own stuff.
What are you wearing?
When they start paying me $20 million a movie, I'll do Tom Cruise. Like, yo, tie me to a plane. I want people to know it's me. And I know it's safe because you paid me $20 million. If you're paying me less than like a million, it's not worth it. I'm just sorry.
What are you wearing when you're running around naked through a crowded street? Okay,
this question of every guest, so don't be out here.
I'm like butt naked except for like a sock, a hammock for my joint.
They put something over your front.
I mean, you got to. I'm a grower, not a shower. I'm
Understood.
Not one of those guys. Some brothers just always got the vein is on pump and it's always just, yo, it's always like cold cuts. You know what
right.
I mean? Mine is like, yo, I got the blood in my body is doing other things. It got to think. It got to write.
Going to the
and
brain.
When it's time, it's like, oh, I see breasts. There's passion.
So you're ready to go.
This is what we're doing. Then it's like cold cuts up here.
Right. But before that, just pimento loaf. I'm trying to think of a cold cut analogy.
Vienna it's
like
sausage.
I'm thinking
no,
like
it's not Vienna, definitely not Vienna okay. sausage.
Deviled ham, like a spreadable meat.
No, it's more like a chicken apple sausage.
All right, so not a lot. Yeah. Being,
chicken apple. Feel it's not like girls wouldn't be like, we should do this another
like
time.
A link, like
no, that's
it's
you.
It's not a microphallus.
That's you. It's, yeah. it's chicken apple sausage. It's respectable. It's not a kielbasa.
But right. you're a well-built black man. I feel like there's pressure on you that the white man doesn't have in the dick department.
No, that's
I'm just
true.
Being honest. Like it's that kind of same thing. The same, not true or true?
No, it's actually more pressure for you guys. Cause,
it is.
Yeah, because
I feel like the bar is set higher for you guys.
Nah, I'm good.
I know you're good, but
I meet the standards. I'm good. I've never had a dissatisfied customer. See, he
no,
would be,
I'm not saying
the
that.
The fact that look at him. He looks like it is so little.
Yeah,
he can only win. Right?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Exceed expectations.
Very good.
Right. Yeah. But see, because you look like that, you better be packing. Because if you're not, it's like
the whole thing.
But I'm talking about shooting a movie where Brian has to run down the street completely naked. Yeah, the pressure's not on, is what I'm saying.
Because nobody's expecting anything.
Yeah.
No, it's like, ever run into a guy like Kevin and Bean? Bean, he's like 6'7", right? He's a horrible athlete. But everywhere he goes, people are like, oh, high school, he played a little ball. And he goes, no, I didn't. I wasn't that good. Like, it's a pressure.
Bean could fight because Bean never had to fight. I would think, like, somebody little like that, I'd be like, I'm not going to mess with him. I would look at his ear first.
I'm talking about dicks and hoops here. I'm not talking about fighting.
Oh, well, you're making it weird. I don't want to talk about penis too long. I mean, they said this is a clean show, and here you go.
So when you run through a street that is really essentially like you going down the 4th Street Promenade, just packed with people on a Sunday and running completely naked.
It's awesome.
Through there. You got to do the squats. You got to do the cleanse, right? You have to put something over the front, right? Yeah. Which is like a sock.
It's a little hammock. It's like a sock, but it's not a sock. It's like a, I don't know. It's like a, it looks like a hammock. You put your joint in it.
And how is it held in place?
It flops. Mm-hmm. But it's like a belly button, but really low and big. Like a herniated belly button.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the Project Kids, like, some of them got, like, Audi belly buttons, and they're really big, but they're really athletic.
I have noticed that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like that, but lower.
What's with the Audi belly button?
I don't know, but it gives them superpowers. Every kid I knew with an Audi belly button could fight. They were all in jail. Check prisoners' belly buttons. I guarantee you.
I did. I have. And you're right.
67% of them.
Oh, I got it low. I got in the low 70s. I got to crunch some numbers. But I did my count a few years back. So things may have changed. You're right. Occasionally, hot model bikini chick has that. As well, but maybe that's just zero body fat. Well, I don't know.
That it's like
where
a one
her
mini
body
flaw.
Fat goes. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how it works, but yeah, I agree. They're super strength in that.
I think Audi on a girl is cute.
Audi on a girl?
Yeah, because sometimes the innie goes too far deep and it starts smelling weird.
Oh, God.
Like earring piercing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You ever smell your earring backs?
No. But
one day.
And I won't.
One day,
I shouldn't
don't
start.
Wash them for a while.
Okay.
And just take them out and just give it a little.
Okay.
And then
I don't want to, but I'll
find somebody got an innie belly button that's way deep and just tickle them.
Okay.
And then smell that. And you're like, it does smell something smell similar.
It's going to be a long day.
I don't know what that black guy's saying. So the movie is Naked. That's available now on Netflix. And
I don't know what movies you guys were looking up that had me with double digit fresh scores on Rotten Tomatoes.
My Requiem.
Movies notoriously, notoriously are like the worst. Like I just, and not so bad that you get a Razzie, but they're like, which is even worse. Mm-hmm. To be nominated 7 times and not win.
I'm You've been nominated for Razzie 7 times?
Probably easily. I'm the Susan Lucci of Razzies.
7 times. Because, yeah, it's cool when, like, Sandra Bullock shows up and gets her Razzie or whoever famously.
I mean, she won. She could say she's a winner. My movies are so terrible that they can't win even losing.
10-20 years from now, if they give you, like, a Lifetime Achievement Award.
A Razzie Lifetime Achievement?
Like, it's on the table.
I'll accept.
I was going to say, would that be a cool?
I'm a comedian. I would accept all that stuff. I don't take this stuff too seriously. I always look at a movie and I go, did the audience laugh? And if when I'm watching it in screenings and they're laughing and they're feeling good, I don't worry about scores or I don't worry about critics. I just go, you know what? My goal is to make people laugh and get your money's worth. Laugh, tell a friend, go smoke a blunt, come back, laugh again. That's all.
7 nomination for Razzies, 2 wins.
Oh.
No, I didn't.
What?
That's what Gary says.
What I win for?
They're both for the 2006 film Little Man, and you won Worst Actor and Worst Screen Couple.
See,
yes! Hold your head up, man.
You know what we're talking about?
You're not so good. See?
Really? Oh,
things
man,
are not
that's
so good.
Awesome. Hold on. Let me get my acceptance.
Things are going to get worse.
First and foremost, I want to thank God for not giving me any talent at all. I want to thank all my acting teachers for absolutely nothing, because apparently you didn't help. 4 years of performing arts high school is a waste of time, apparently. I want to thank my brothers for all the terrible movies that they've done to make me want to be just like them. I want to thank you for allowing me to have this moment, Adam. I share this with you.
Bring
for something terrible that you've done. I remember Loveline. So, hey, This to us, buddy.
There you are, walking around, feeling talented, never knowing all the time.
Two-time winner.
I'm a two-time winner. Can I get like a trophy or a statue? I'm going to put that
they
on my mantle.
They definitely owe you one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam, you know how long I've known you?
How long's it been?
Dude, you was on Loveline.
You did the
you
TV
skinny,
show.
You had a crazy little Jufro.
I think I still have a Jufro.
Still got the Jufro.
Oh, it's still
nah,
there.
It was big. It wasn't even tapered. That's not a Jufro. That's like a jet top.
I got a haircut too short, like too long, like 3 weeks ago. But I could recreate.
Yeah, but it was big back in the day.
You must have come on to promote a Scary Movie back in the day.
Probably came on to promote something, Wayans Brothers. Like, we've been around a long time. We're still here, man. That's what feels good, is we're still doing it.
Yeah, no, I have this thing where I do feel like the old person who's in fantastic condition, and I realize if you slip in the tub and you break your hip and you're down for about 3 weeks, you'll be dead 5 weeks later. And you just, it happens that fast. And that's why I get up every morning and basically sort of,
I thought you were about to say, and I don't wash.
I don't wash. I never go in the shower. No, the whole idea is to throw track out ahead of you, because you'd be like a speeding train.
Yep.
And you have to get in front every day, and you have to throw track out in front of you. Otherwise, you're going to have to slow that train down to a stop and start looking for where the track's going.
Absolutely.
And my thing is we all know that you do so many projects, you have so many meetings, you have so many pitch meetings and so many things, and such a small percentage of them ever actually translate into a payday or an actual finished product or whatever it is. And since there's no way of knowing in advance, all you can do is simply go out and have 30 ideas going on all day, every day.
And that's what I do. I just do. Like, people are like, how are you doing this? Like, I'm doing my TV show. I just got picked up for a second season. I promoted that. I've been doing stand-up every weekend. I just finished the movie. I'm writing a movie right now as we speak. I'm about to film my special. Like, I've been doing this 27 years. These last five, everything's starting to click in this place, because I just do, and I don't worry about what's going to happen or trying to plan it. Everything happens how it's supposed to happen. I just do the work. That's all you can do, is do the work.
Yeah, I don't feel there's one thing that we talk about, like, people need jobs, people need money, people need, you know, shrinking middle class jobs, this and creating jobs or shovel ready jobs. What we don't talk about enough or ever in our society is how jobs, it brings you money, but it brings you satisfaction. It brings you, for men especially, a sense of like self, like a sense of who am I? Yeah. What is
I'm feeding my family. What is my father?
What's my identity?
Yes.
Without not having a job and living, and I say especially as a male, because I just, you know, my wife works, but she gets way more out of the kids than working.
Than you do. Oh, yeah.
Than I do. And I get more out of that.
I get it. I went to open school night, and she had her glasses on, and she was dead serious about what's going on. I'm cracking jokes. I'm on Instagram. I'm, you know, doing my son's rap that he wrote for Macbeth. Like, it's fun for me. You know, the beauty is, I think when you marry a purpose of work with doing something you love, I think that's when life gets special. Like, I tell my kids, my son, look, math. She's wanted to tell my son he can't play basketball because he was doing well in math. I said, no, the boy will never be a mathematician. He can potentially be a basketball player because he's damn good. So why take him out of the thing that he's great at to go put him in something that he hates? No, let him do. I tell my kids, do what you love and smile every day like I do. Do it the best you can. If that's your purpose, go be great.
Gina, your parents are Jews. They must have given your brother the exact same speech.
No. I feel like I heard this
forget
a million times.
Forget about the math studies. Yeah. You focus on basketball.
What do you love?
Yeah, all day.
Yeah. What makes you smile?
That's the most stereotypical black thing I've ever heard in my life. Don't focus on math. You focus on basketball.
I asked my son, I said, can you count to a million? That's all you need. Can you subtract that? That's all you need. When are you going to use the Pythagorean theorem? Tell me.
Never.
When? When are you going to use pi radius, whatever that is, for diameter? Are you to measure like the circumference of your joint? Like, when are you ever going to use that stuff? But you will use the things that you do in terms of basketball. And my daughter, she's creative. if you look at my family and you go, we have six successful comedians in my family. What if my parents was like, that's nonsense, which they were, but Keenan was like, I'm going to show you that it's right. not. And there's six, that's just the way our brains work. We are a family full of comedians. If mathematicians, we would have failed at life. We'd be in jail. We'd be frustrated. No, do what you love. My daughter was like, I want to be an actress, writer, and producer. I said, you don't even need college. I got you. But she's still going to go to college. But then I saw the bills for USC, and I was like, USCCCC? Like, community college is awesome. But, you know, end of the day, if you find the passion, find the thing you love, I think that's the thing that nurtures you to success.
Yeah, I agree. People need it. And when I talk to anybody and they say, you know, one leg shorter than the other, or I have a dyslexia or something, I never feel sorry for them. But when I say to them, what do you want to do? And they go, I don't know. I feel sorry for them.
Exactly.
That the most I'll ever feel, if someone's in a wheelchair and they're telling me they're doing what they want to do, I never feel sorry for them. When I talk to a dude, like a 23-year-old dude, and I go, what do you want to do? What's your passion? What's your gifts? What do you want to do? And they go, I don't know. I'm always like, I feel sorry for that
person.
You
know what I do? Right then in that moment, I go, will you stash your weed? I'm going to hide it so you can get some clarity and some focus.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that these kids do. They get weed and it's like they start meandering. Nah, stay focused, man. Stay focused. Do what you love. Once you find the thing you love, if you want to smoke weed, then fine. At least you're being creative in an area. But for me, I just honestly feel like, you know, doing the thing you love. And even like people, they say I have ADD, which I do. But that's a great thing because now it's not like, oh, let me take some Adderall or some weird drug or Ritalin. No. You know what it is? This gives me the opportunity to do all the things that's in my crazy head every day. I can do a lot. So you apply your ADD to the things you love and you just become successful at it.
Do you feel, and you tell me, I don't know what it's like.
That's why I'm great in menage a trois, because I have ADD.
Multitasking.
A little bit of you, a little bit of you. Huh. Come on, we all share.
Tell me with your wife and your kids.
Never been married.
All right. Tell me.
I've been terrible at it.
Tell me with whoever had your kids and your kids.
Yes.
You're a lot of you.
Yes.
And you're a handful because you got boundless energy.
Yes.
And you have ideas on everything.
Yes.
And so I'm the same way. So I'm like, no, here's how you do it. And that's what you do. And here's what's going to work. And it drives everyone nuts. And I feel like I'm just giving everyone tips and how to get through it. And I've been there. So let me tell you what not to do. And let me tell you what to do. And I find it becomes too much for most people. Like, most people just want to be left alone and fail.
I agree. I wake up and I give my kids, you know, I send them motivational quotes every day. Something Michael Jordan said or something about success. And the only one that really ever responds is their mom. Like, oh, that's so sweet. I know that when I give notes, that they're taking the notes. They're basically humoring me. Mm-hmm. They're not really going to listen. They're going to hear me and go, yeah, we agree. They're pacifying me.
Right.
They're not really listening. We think we know it all. We don't know Jack. They know way more. I learned this. I don't want you to be me. Be you. Do your process of your life how you want to do it. I'm doing me and I'm happy. So if you want to get happy like me, I'll tell you how to get there, or be happy like you, and that's fine with me. Oh,
well. Yeah, I had an interesting conversation, and now this is reminding me. Gary, I don't know if you have the dream, believe, achieve. I started yelling it around my house because somebody made me a poster. I don't know, maybe Lynette will take a picture of it and send it to you, but somebody made me a thing that said, dream, believe, achieve, and I've just been yelling it at my kids. It's not that you don't have the answers, and it's not that I don't have the answers, but I had the guy in here, I did my motivational podcast with the Indian guy who invented 5-hour energy drink. He's doing pretty good for himself.
Manoj Bagarf,
yes. And I said to him, Manoj, you're a scientist, very smart guy, and I said, we were talking about power and how to create power and coal mines and gas and whatever. I said, what's the best? What would work the best, like, right now? And he said, nuclear. And I said, all right, so let's do that. And he said, it's not popular. We can't do it. And I said, yeah, but we should just have nuclear power plants because that's the cleanest, that's the best, and you're the smartest, so you go figure it out. And he said, it's never going to work. And I said, why not? And he said, because no one wants it. Like, no one will do it.
even though you know it, even mm-hmm. though you're smarter than they are. And he was smart enough to know it won't work, even though it would work, just because everyone would reject it with the sort of no nukes kind of thing. So it's not that he doesn't know.
It's in time.
He knows it's not going to work.
Right now.
Right now.
And when it does,
right.
you know,
so you,
he don't want to be the guy to lift the, put it on his back and
you,
make it happen. He's too rich to do that.
You have the knowledge. You just know that it's not going to work.
Yeah, I it works for me.
It works for you.
It works for me, and I hope that if you need, it works for you. What if my kids want to be you, do you. I'm not going to let your life make me depressed. I'm happy in my life. If, son, I don't want you to smoke crack, but if you wind up doing that, hey, be the best crackhead you could possibly be.
I see a Marlon Wayans guidance counselor. You know what I mean? Look, what's with all the math? Why aren't we shooting hoop? And who, look, no, pot when you're done shooting hoop.
Pick up that crack pipe.
If you're going to try crack, I'd rather you do it
practice,
here.
We smoke after practice. And if you pick up the crack pipe, you don't put it down.
If my daughter was like, I'm going to strip, I'd be like, baby girl, I'm going to come to open tonight, and I'm throwing dollars in the air, and I'm not going to watch.
Hey,
that's my baby girl. Look at that, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, look how she did that polo. All right, baby girl. That was good.
Nah,
easy
like
all the way down.
Easy on the way down. I saw that movie Marlon was in, naked. He's a grower. He's not a shower. He said on the Anna Pearl show. Hey, Jade, Jade. All right, so we got news. Let's do news. All right, hold on. Let me tell you about LifeLock first, yeah. Equifax breach, man. They want to know. A lot of people want to know. Should they freeze their credit? Unfortunately, this step will not protect you against every identity fraud out there, hackers out there, trying to get your social security numbers, birth dates, driver's license. They're going to commit crimes. They're going to hack into your 401k. They're going to drain your accounts dry. Let's get LifeLock. Let's get some protection here. You got to get it, and it's 24/7, and they never stop watching. I got it. The kids have it. The wife has it. Everyone's got LifeLock. It's 2017. You're online. You're shopping. You're doing all this stuff. Your information's out there. You're vulnerable. You need LifeLock. Their proprietary technology detects a wide range of identity threats, and they'll alert you if yours is being used. You do not want that. You want LifeLock. It protects your identity. Let's get it, folks. Don't put it off. Let's go with LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more than if you're just monitoring your credit. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. So, Gary, I think Lynette, if she's somewhere near the house,
I've texted her. I'm waiting for a reply.
She'll have a picture. The thing I've been yelling at my kids every night. Somebody made me a picture and sent it to me. All right, let's do it, Gina Grad.
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, I'm awful sorry to do this to you, but there are just too many assault headlines, so we just got to power through them, okay?
All right.
So, director Ridley Scott has recast Kevin Spacey's role in a movie that's already been shot, edited, and due to be released next month, according to Deadline.
Movie?
Yes. Spacey played the role of real-life oil billionaire J. Paul Getty in a drama called All the Money in the World. His part has been recast. It's going to Christopher Plummer.
That trailer's been out for months.
Yes.
I can only imagine the whole movie.
Well, here's how it's going to go down.
Why do we need to do this?
They're afraid nobody will go see it because of the Kevin Spacey allegations?
No, we're not. Look, let me explain how we're wired. We pretend to care, but we don't really care.
So what do you think's behind it? Because they are spending so much time and money to get
imagine?
This done.
Usually they're making statements, but I think...
I'm more curious to see
I think
now.
In a situation like this, since most people... Look, if you said to most people, if you support this movie, the movie's going directly to Kevin Spacey's ball sack, then that might keep people away. But if you know he's not going to benefit directly or he'll be heading toward jail when you're watching this or something. I don't think it matters. The same way as there were people like sort of pre and post scandals mm-hmm. that are still out there. It doesn't seem to affect things that much.
This is a huge decision because
it's already been paid for.
So they're going to Michelle Williams and Mark Wahlberg also star in the movie.
He's also like the third lead. Sorry.
Yeah. They're going to return to shoot key scenes. It says here, they agree that Spacey.
This would be me at my worst.
Like, you when imagine? They're going,
we got to come back. We got to pick up these scenes.
Again.
That's be like, it's the one that don't turn.
Well, they claim that Spacey needed to not be in this movie. So they've altered their schedules to quickly do the reshoots. They are still planning on hopefully releasing this before Thanksgiving. So this is just weeks away to
Good
rush
luck.
This. A lot of cash, a lot of time to do this.
Huh. I don't know.
There's no way the movie comes out before Thanksgiving.
Well, it's kind of this. Marlon's a good guy to ask about this, like taking down
Why
the statues. No, I'm turning
dude.
To a civil rights thing, like
go
the statues and stuff like that. I don't care that much. I'm a white guy. I don't care. But what I'm saying is like people and a statue's different than a movie, but he did bad things. I understand that. This movie, he's not playing Kevin Spacey. Right. He's playing J. Paul Getty or something. Mm-hmm. He's playing somebody else. Some people are always playing somebody else and from the 40s or the 30s or whenever. Are we looking at him
yeah.
now?
Yeah. See, they won't have to put any makeup on
Christopher Plummer. Oh, he's wearing a ton of makeup and stuff?
Yeah.
What year did this movie supposed to take place?
I think it goes through his life. At least his adult life.
It's a kidnapping of his grandson.
Yes.
So let's say 19.
So is that Kevin Spacey right there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't even recognize Kevin Spacey, so I don't care.
Just change the voice.
I could be wrong.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So this just in, at least from right now, five women have stepped forward to say comedian Louis C.K. crossed the line into sexual misconduct with them. This is from New York Daily News. So the bombshell allegations were reported by New York Times. Two of the women, comedians Dana Min Goodman and Julia Wolof, said the Emmy winner lured them to an Aspen hotel room in 2002 and forced them to watch him masturbate. They described casually going to hang out with him, and then he asked if he could take his pants off, and they thought he was kidding, and then before they know it, he's completely naked and doing his thing.
Can I say this about masturbating?
Please.
I think there's a small percentage of people that would like other folks to watch them beat off, and then there's the rest of us.
who desperately don't want anyone to see us.
But I don't feel like there's a group in between. Like, hey, Tim, what if a couple folks watched you beat off? I don't know. Were they already in the room?
Yeah.
No big
deal. Or you do it sometimes.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Alone, it gets a little boring. You know, sometimes you have a little audience.
It's not all just window dressing. Sometimes it's like, hey, hand me the magazine, or you're sitting on the remote, right. Or could you shut the light? Like, I actually use these folks.
I borrow a laptop.
You know what I mean?
Just stand there.
And then when they hear fire in the hole, it's time for the shoulder roll.
We got a thing.
It's the same thing. Good defenses in football have this thing where if they pick off the ball, like if the DB picks up a deep pass, they'll yell like, fire, scarecrow or something that lets everyone up front start blocking.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have my, I'm going to come, I yell fire. And that'll get people.
That could be very dangerous.
All the
get
time?
People to clear out.
So start blocking.
Oh, no, just when I'm with. No.
Fire!
No, just when I'm with.
The kids in the house get up and they run out.
Yeah.
What is this new? Maybe it's a new thing.
Or people are finally
people
talking about it.
People want people to watch them masturbate.
It's just Harvey and Harvey Louis. Weinstein. This is a strange thing. You're right. Like, most people want no one to ever see them do that.
Sometimes you do it when you just don't want to have sex, though.
Yeah, but they weren't
like,
asking.
Why do I got to lure you into my room for that?
No. As the guy, like, when you're just like, I don't want to do it. She's aggressive. And you're just like, let me just get this out so this will end the party.
But this does not sound like that. This sounds like coming to a hotel room and this is what I'm into.
It sounds like I want to know. You can't give me like a 3-sentence like structure to this to let me know what really happened. Lord me. I want to know about the night.
Yep.
What did you guys drink? What kind of drugs was consumed? Mm-hmm. What all happened? How did you wind up in the room? What was on TV? What was the things that led exactly to the right before the moment? He was like, okay, I'm going to take my pants off and whack off in front of you.
But here's what we will know. We will know that if the stories are consistent, he did it.
Yeah, they're
so
multiple.
If you go, at some point, he excused himself in the bathroom and he came back wearing nothing but a towel. And at that point, he put his foot up on the bed.
Right.
If we hear that same story times five, then that'll be his thing.
That's his thing?
Yeah.
That'll be his thing.
I put my foot up every time on the...
I feel like people are fairly consistent in their masturbatorial stories.
I do the Captain Morgan every time. With one sock on.
That's right. And here's two eye patches for your protection.
The sock is on my foot.
You'll be my first mate.
At least from what I've I've heard, and you guys might know more just being more sort of in the comedian community, this was not a very well-kept secret.
I had heard some stories about him being, like, inappropriate, but I didn't know what that – I didn't know what it meant, and I don't have any – connection to him. So
I've never heard a Louis C.K. story.
I've heard this from a couple of women.
I'd heard a couple of things. Yeah.
All right.
So everyone's going down.
Well, we're not done.
Man. I hope I'm like Kaepernick. I hope every quarterback gets injured this Sunday. And I'll just more work for us.
He's clear
out,
the way.
More work for me and Marlon.
He's out the game and he's just like, yo, I'm
everybody put me in coach.
I hope every single comedian gets put in jail and there's nothing but me headlining mega domes. Not because they want it, because they have to.
Yep.
Till five women come forward and go, Adam Carolla.
Oh, man.
Yep. Well, we are just getting started a couple more down the list. This is really bizarre. Charlie Sheen was accused of raping a 13-year-old Corey Haim back in the 80s. This is what the National Enquirer, a bombshell exclusive, said Wednesday. Hours later, the 2.5 Men star addressed the claim in a statement to The Hollywood Reporter. He said, categorically denies these charges. In the Enquirer story, Haim's longtime friend, actor Dominic Brascia, said Charlie assaulted Corey on the set of the 1980s film Lucas. The tabloid claims, and I think Charlie Sheen was like 19 in that.
Do you know how weird of a scene that would have been?
Oh my God.
Like, to rape him and then have to do the scene with him right after that. That's the weirdest scene.
Yeah, well, and he's, you know, Charlie Sheen kind of plays this, you know, older dude, and Lucas is this weakling. Yes,
I was
Gary.
Doing it for character work.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the story that I had read stated sort of, I think rape's being thrown around a lot because I read that then Corey Haim went back to try to fool around with him again, and Charlie Sheen said no, thank you. So the only part of it that's rape in my story is statutory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Because I have not read that, and I have. This is a combination of about four different articles. So that's
maybe I'm reading something wrong.
No, maybe not. Maybe that's the newest. This is from earlier today. So Corey Haim passed away in 2010, died of pneumonia, but he did name Charlie as his abuser, according to his friend Dominic. And meanwhile,
How much can you trust guys named Dominic?
That's a very good point. Corey Feldman says the LAPD is finally investigating claims that he was sexually assaulted as a child actor. They're finally taking that seriously, apparently.
Well, I think they should have been taking that seriously. I think, you know, yeah. I mean, look, perversion is perversion. I think, you know, I don't think you should, these guys have to be a lot more responsible, especially when it comes to children and women. It's like, you know, you don't use your position of power to try and get those things from, extract that from people. It's right. Like, you know.
And we also need to, there's such a chasm between what's being done to kids, and he put his hand on my knee under the dinner table. Like, we got to just start separating the assaults from the assaults over here. We're calling everything assault, and everything was like attack. And
well, with a child, you got to be
with a kid. It's a completely different thing than it is when President Bush's hand slides down your coolie and he makes a stupid joke from a wheelchair. Like, let's just draw a distinction between those two things.
He can't do much with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, one more.
Bob Dole, worst guy ever to pull that move. Stabbed in the ass with a pencil he's holding.
So one more in the hopper and we can move on. A month after admitting on Twitter that he was once sexually harassed by a high-level executive, Terry Crews has decided to hold that person accountable. So the Brooklyn,
oh, boy.
Yep.
I'm going to be proven wrong. I said his story was like he was at a cocktail party
and
some guy just... in the middle of the cocktail party, just grabbed his junk.
Yeah.
And then I said, that guy had to be drunk. Like, that's a insanely drunk.
He had to be high on crack, cocaine,
yes,
meth, and drinking to touch Terry Crews. Have you ever seen how big Terry Crews is?
I have. I've met it many occasions.
He was hoping Terry would whoop his ass. Like, that was the part of it. He wants to get off. I'm going to have the big black guy whoop my ass. He should have did that and then called him the N-word if he really wanted that to happen.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
I agree. And so I said, okay, this guy was drunk. This guy was high and drunk.
It's not
and,
rational, babe.
Like, out of his mind.
That doesn't make sense to me.
And then I got a bunch of angry tweets going, the man was sexually assaulted. What are you passing it off as a drunken prank for?
Because
or whatever.
You have to be something if you touch Terry Crews. I've worked with Terry. Everything on Terry's body is a muscle.
I agree.
His fists have muscles. His fists have abs on them. Like, you don't touch Terry. Fist. You just don't touch Terry.
I know the man fairly well, and I've worked with him many times,
if
and I've said the exact
me,
same thing.
You can
thing.
Go, all right, I can get away with that. I could, chances are, I could probably take Marlon. You know, but Terry, you can't win.
Oh, my God.
We're looking at pictures of him. So,
it's a monster.
He was in the middle of a party, and a guy went up and did that.
Yeah.
All right, so
wife.
Now he's going to name the guy.
Yeah, so apparently he's been identified as Adam Vennett over at William Morris in the motion picture department. And in a lengthy Twitter thread last month, this is basically what Crews wrote. He said, "This whole thing with Harvey Weinstein is giving me PTSD. Why? Because this kind of thing happened to me. My wife and I were at a Hollywood function last year, and a high-level Hollywood executive came over to me and groped my privates. Jumping back, I said, 'What are you doing?' My wife saw everything, and we looked at him like he was crazy. He just grinned like a jerk." The William Morris agency says Vennett has been placed on leave while they investigate the claim.
Vennett married, by the way.
Oh. He's married to a
woman.
Gal. I'm still kind of sticking with my super drunk synopsis of this because he was standing with Terry Crews.
Super drunk and very high on every drug.
Because Terry Crews is standing with his wife, too. Like, this seems like completely.
Yeah, the people who question you on Twitter are off base. This is just such irrational behavior, like in public, at a party, in front of his wife, to a gigantic man who can kill you. Yeah. That is wildly irrational behavior.
It had to be some kind of, you just don't do that to Terry Crews. It's like,
Terry's not letting it go.
It's a death wish.
Yeah, Terry's going to try and see this.
But you know
through.
The bad part is if Terry would have whooped his ass, then Terry looks like the bad guy.
Of course, absolutely.
All right, Gary, you have my motivational poster that somebody sent me. They, yep.
Sorry.
I hung this, you got to pull it back a little, or can you?
This is the only one two shot. Shots I got. I can ask her for a wider shot.
I'll see if we can get back a little. But this is a poster that somebody gave me, which is me staring at Paul Newman's $5 million 930 Porsche before it went up for auction. And then the next picture is me sitting in it. And the next person pictures spraying the champagne. And I just yell at my kids, dream, believe, achieve. And they yell, shut up.
Yeah. Did you buy it?
I do it every night. Yeah.
You bought that?
I bought that car.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're lying.
Nope.
You bought that car?
Show it to you.
Bought it. I drove it at a race.
Where is it at now?
It's on its way home from New York.
New picture incoming in momentarily.
Yeah. Anyway, that's his car. And you know what? The guy just made it. And I think it's like a little bit of a joke and sent it to me. And I set it down on the floor for a long time. And then I hung it up there and I went, God damn it. I'm looking at this thing. Yeah. I'll look at it every night.
You
that's
did
awesome.
It.
Why not?
Well,
yeah. All right.
You paid $5 million for an old car.
4.8.
You could have bought a house.
Oh, you can't get a decent house for $4.8 million. Not in Los Angeles.
In the valley with like a movie theater. Easily.
Yeah, he's
but
already done the valley.
You can't drive a house around Laguna Seca. All you can do is spend every day there in comfort
you know
with your family.
How comfortable it is to live in that little car. There's no way to shower.
It's part of the plan.
Like you're gonna smell like belly button at some point.
I shower in champagne juice when I get out of the car. I'll tell you about Varidesk, man. Nobody plans to sit all day, but so many people do. They sit all day. I got to tell you, I was just over it. I said I was over it. And a mall the other day, and they have whole desks. The whole it's like electric, and but it's got to be $2,000 a unit
they
for
rise.
The whole thing to go up and the whole thing to go down, which is fine. But it weighs 800 pounds and costs $2,000.
Varidesk a lot more efficient.
Same thing. I did see somebody who had the whole riser system and a Varidesk on top of that.
Wow.
And I thought, that is, that's a turducken of desks right there. Standing is just better for you than sitting. You can go up and down. You do it with the Varidesk. Sit, stand solutions. You put it right on top of your existing desk, and there's nothing to replace, and it's easy, and you can try it risk-free. Use it for 30 days risk-free. They'll ship it to you for free. If you don't like it, they'll ship it, but you can ship it back for free. 30-day risk-free trial. Check it out at varidesk.com. That is V-A-R-I-desk.
AdamCarolla.com. Let them know you heard it here on the Adam Carolla Show. All right, let's do one more, Gina Graham.
All right. Well, the New York Post reports that a plane flying from Doha, Qatar, to Bali had to make an emergency landing in India after a woman started fighting with her husband. The plane passenger who spied on her husband's phone and discovered he was having an affair. She figured this out mid-flight. It caused such a commotion, the plane had to land. This is
You know what we need to do? I said this a few years ago. Con Air, one of the greatest films of all time. Yeah, that's sort of what we're talking about. I just have it hanging on the wall. Now you can see it's a picture. Sorry. Tell Lynette you got a little too much of the Z car up there. No, it's fine. Con Air, one of the greatest films of all time. They had a cage in that plane, and they just kept Johnny 24 in there, whatever his name was. But at some point, someone else got thrown in a cage. But we now are just going to have cages on planes for flights longer than 3 hours, and if you get into it, we're just going to toss you in the cage,
every
right?
Every stadium, you know, every stadium has a little jail.
Yeah, like Philadelphia has a whole court system in the bowels of the stadium. Why not just have this? Just turn around and head back to the airport or go to the whatever.
That's hell. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go when you're just stuck on a plane. Yeah. You can't. I'll go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. There's nowhere you can go.
You don't want to get caught cheating on a plane.
No, that's the worst place. He's lucky that plane was going to Qatar and that plane was not going to Atlanta, because that would have been a black woman on a plane and that plane would have crashed because all hell would have broke loose and she would have beat everybody's ass till she found out who was the culprit.
Well, it's funny you say that. She was in.
They ain't going to find your ass till they find the black box.
She's an Iranian woman, and she was with her husband and her kid. She used her sleeping husband's finger to unlock his phone while he was asleep.
That's his fault.
Yeah.
You don't sleep with your wife around when you're cheating. You just don't sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and not with your ID finger.
No. Exactly. Mm-mm. That's how she found the evidence he was cheating. The woman had reportedly been drinking a little bit and started fighting with him. The situation got out of hand. The family of three were offloaded at the airport in Chennai, India. The plane continued on to Bali. There was no security issue, apparently. The family was soon able to board another flight, but they were still traveling together at this point, I guess.
That is a weird thing to wake up.
Yeah.
To wake up from on a flight.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, like when you're on a flight, you wake up and you find out that they're out of saltines or something. That's kind of a bummer.
How long was I out for?
Once in a while, you wake up and you realize you just missed the drink cart.
Yeah.
And you're a little bit bummed out. But this is the worst, right?
This is catastrophic.
To wake up and your crying wife is sitting there with a dull butter knife.
Yeah,
right.
Beating you awake.
Oh, yeah.
Is this okay protocol if you want to take a nap? Can you tell the stranger next to you, wake me up when the drink cart comes around?
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
And then
you're going to encounter some jerks who will be put out.
You
but
know
that's
why?
A reasonable request.
Can you ask him, can you wake me if my wife uses my finger to open my iPhone?
I've woken people next to me just to say, just so you know, the food's here. Like, you might want that. So
and
people are doing it anyway.
You guys
proactively?
Tweet.
Yeah.
Gina.
No, I don't know that you can do that. I like your heads at, but I don't think you can do that.
That's too late.
I always say they appreciate it.
Else am I going to say? It's another 4 hours. I got to sit next to a witch.
I was sleeping.
Witch. But can I?
I'm so tired.
Somebody, everyone tweet.
Child at home.
Tweet me this. I do not snore, but if I fall asleep on my back, I will snore, and I have no option on an airplane but to fall asleep on my back, and then my mouth will drop open, and then I'll start snoring, and then I'm horribly embarrassed when I wake up and realize I kind of was snoring, and at least seven people heard the Man Show guys snoring.
I have the exact same thing with drinking. What? I don't snore, but when I'm drinking for the night, lots of snoring.
What can we do on the airplane? You can't roll over on your belly.
Do what I do.
What do you do?
I fold up my body into like a little, like I fold my legs up. I put them on the top of the back seat. That guy gets pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
But I lay down like folded in a C. And this way, and I bring my own pillow and I put my face in the pillow and I just drool. And this way, I don't snore. Bless you twice.
Thank you. Sorry. So you don't, all right. So yeah, if you just recline the seat.
Yeah, you
gotta
go
snore.
You gotta
get into the seat position.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring it home, baby girl.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Yeah, man. How about some Geico? Everybody's got the to-do list. I'm going to add something to your to-do list. How about you save yourself tons of money on your auto insurance by going to Geico? Go to geico.com in 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket, and that's about the best thing you can do today. So slide over to the computer, jump on to geico.com, spend a couple of minutes, and see just how much Geico could be saving you on your auto insurance. All right, so Marlon Wayans, that is Friday and Saturday night, November 10th and 11th, Oxnard Levity Live.
Yes.
Tickets at OxnardLevityLive.com. And then us doing a live podcast there Sunday night, 7 o'clock. Mike August doing the news, everybody.
Wow. I'm so sorry.
You better hope he's not good.
Oh, no.
He said he is a speed reader, so he might have to slow it down a little.
Oh, man.
The great thing about Mike, he has no nerve ending, so he won't be nervous or anything. Oh, he won't be anything.
He should be on character and, like, eat in the green room until we need him for news and then come out.
And then we'll bring him out.
Still not full of food.
I'm going to help as much as I can.
There's a special taping for Marlon's stand-up special. First stand-up special ever at the MGM NationalHarbor.com is where you can go. You can get tickets there. So that's in D.C. So go to MGM NationalHarbor.com. The movie Naked, available now on Netflix, and the TV show on NBC, getting ready for season 2. Look out for that next year. What else can we say?
November 15th and 16th, I'm at the Comedy Zone in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and December 8th through 10th, Marlon Wayans at the Tempe Improv. Get your tickets.
And us, the 21st Pasadena Ice House, Mark Garagus' attorney, and Brad Williams will be up on stage with us as well. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Marlon Wayans and Gina Grad and Ball Bryan saying mahalo. I don't know what that black guy's saying.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Join us Sunday night in Oxnard and the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving in Pasadena. Get your tickets now at AdamCarolla.com.